Happy Sabbath. Been a while since I've spoken for the second service. It's good to be back with you. The 50-plus group has chosen as the theme, Break Every Chain. I tended, Sister Calise, to think of this as breaking every link, for chains are made of links. And the chain that I want you to think about is the chain of distraction. And each distraction in your life makes up that chain. That may be keeping you from being focused on getting to heaven. What is grabbing your attention that's more important than Jesus? Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts now. In Christ's name, amen. The book of Revelation, the first chapter, let me go back where Brother King read, and then let's add the next verse. I, verse 9, John, both your brother and companion in what, church? Talk to me, in what? In tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. He's describing the life of the Christian. It is a life of tribulation and of living in the atmosphere of the kingdom of grace. And in so doing, we must have the patience of Jesus Christ. And then he says he was on the island that is called Patmos. Why was he there? Why was he there? The Bible and the text tells you. Why was he there? For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in trouble because I stuck with Jesus. Then verse 10. Everybody together. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. He's in his 90s. He's in his 90s. But in his 90s, he's still in the Spirit. Now, somebody's going to wake up here in a minute here in this service. I said, after going through tribulation for the sake of the kingdom, God, on his 90, can declare, I'm still in the Spirit. What do you say, saints? It's called staying focused. Staying focused. Staying focused. I'm 74. 74. 74. 74. I'm almost, Rod, 75. Next birthday, 75. Now go on and give the pastor a good amen. You've been in this world for 75 years. Somebody ought to pat you on the back. Born Avondale during World War II, 1942. So like some of you here, I remember the 3-cent stamp and the penny postcard. I remember phone booths where, Derek, you could make a call for 10 cents. Is anybody talking about? Now the young folk are saying, huh? I remember black and white TV with Milton Berle, I Love Lucy, The Lone Ranger, I Owe Silver Away. See? Don't you know what I'm talking about? I remember Ed Sullivan. All are pitiful. Are there any old people in this room at all? Ed Sullivan. I remember cars like the Hudson and the Nash, the Packard. Boy, this is a pitiful group. The DeSoto, the Plymouth, and the Studebaker. That was one ugly piece of steel on the road. Studebaker. I remember the first laptops. And my first cell phone was a box with a receiver on top. Come on, y'all. I remember when there were no dot-coms. None. No microwave ovens. I remember not the refrigerator. I remember the ice box. Come on, y'all. Somebody help the old guy out. The ice box. I remember, O'Neill, when the milkman came to your door and left milk on the doorstep. I wish somebody would wake up in this place. 3/4 of a century. That's who's talking here. Ha! I remember when the doctor came to your house and charged you $4. And all the doctors in the house just fell over and fainted. I remember. Anybody here remember the Fuller Brush Man? Okay. Not here. The first election I voted in was when Lyndon Baines Johnson ran for president, and I marched in the 60s in the Civil Rights Movement with Martin Luther King, Stokely Carmichael, Jesse Jackson, Floyd McKissick. And yes, I remember signs in the Deep South that said, by the drinking fountain, white only. Restrooms, white only. But here's one for you. I remember my first job as a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. And my salary, $48 a week. And I had a master's degree. Some of y'all wouldn't sweep floors for that. Come on and say amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My world, I'm heading you somewhere. My world, James Armstrong, has changed dramatically since I was born. The words terrorism and radical Islam. We're not known. And a man marrying a man and a woman marrying a woman, it wasn't even on the agenda. I didn't really think, and I remember saying to my mother when I went to the seminary in 1964, I remember saying to her, maybe I should not go. I believe the Lord will come before I finish. I want to get on out there and get into the work. I never thought I'd be pastoring a church, an Adventist church, in 2016. I thought we would be in glory. Hear me. Staying focused is the big challenge of the Christian life. Come on, y'all. Keeping your mind on where you're going. That's the task. I didn't think that I would ever be in a church that was wrestling with issues like women's ordination and how do we accept and welcome in the church the LGBT community. That lifestyle issues of conduct would be issues like wearing jewelry and going to the theater and use of alcoholic beverages. When I was growing up in the days, by and large, that wasn't discussed. You just didn't do it. As a weak amen. No debates about it, just didn't do it. Those years when I grew up, if an Adventist drank coffee, he kept it a secret. Coca-Cola, we didn't do that. Look at the funny looks on your faces. I'm not condemning, I'm just simply saying, watch me, things have changed. And when things start changing, then people kind of lose their faith. Me personally, I don't care if you drink coffee or drink Cokes. I don't care. Drink them. It's not an issue for me. But when you, listen to me, when you start deciding on the basis of issues like that God is or is not, says he is, because the church is changing, people are changing, with that sense of faith and determination, you let the meanderings of people change your mind about the steadiness of God. I don't care what people may do in the church. I've got one thing settled in my heart. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And therefore, if I may see somebody doing something I think is wrong, that's not going to bother me. I'm not going to judge them. I'm too busy focused on getting to the kingdom of God. That's all I'm talking about. Don't get upset about the things I just mentioned. You'll be all right. But you got to stay focused. My world, socially, economically, financially, and politically, even spiritually, has changed dramatically in my brief time. 75, 74 years, that's no time on life. Ask Adam. That's no time on life. Now, some changes need to be made. Racism needed to go in the Adventist church. There should have never been a day when a black person was uncomfortable coming to this church. That needed to go. That needed to change. The Seventh-day Adventist church needed to come to be more open on issues and less judgmental, more balanced between law and grace. I'm glad the church has embraced cultures and their music. I said the church has embraced all cultures. The church has embraced all cultures and their music. I've never read anything standard of music, the standard for the church. We're coming to understand that receiving and loving people with varying sexual orientations does not mean that you condone. We should be able to accept everybody because they're human. I'm glad to see that change in the church, because acceptance doesn't mean approval. It means acceptance. I'm glad to see the church more inclined to understand that Christ died for all and that there's just as many Christians who are not Seventh-day Adventists as there are Christians who are Seventh-day Adventists. These are changes we needed to make. Getting old is scary. It can be scary. You see, Pastor Faison, when I was younger, if I had a wolf in the morning, it was a crink in my knee or little pain in my elbow, you know, you shrug it off. Now, 74, you wonder, is this it? Getting Is this how I'm going out? Pains in my knee? How many know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. When I was a teenager in high school, Germantown High, the freshman in high school, I was the fastest runner in the school as a freshman. Was a senior that could touch me. Now, I'm just glad to run to the bathroom. And time. Somebody say amen, huh? Yeah, you're getting old. It's scary. It's scary. The forgetting. Some of you all couldn't find your keys this morning. You know you couldn't. And you put them where they were. We won't even talk about going in a room. It's just so funny. You get up, you go to the room. When you got up to go, you knew why you were going. What happened between getting up in the room? Come on, somebody tell me. You get to the room, you're standing there, you feel like a dummy. You don't want your wife to, honey, you all right? Fine. I don't know why I got up, O'Neill, and went to the room. And then you trace your steps back, have you done that one? Hoping that it'll come to you on your way back. And you can turn around and still save face. It's scary. And things like this, I'm going somewhere, things like this can tempt you to lose focus. To forget, hallelujah, that I'm in the arms of Jesus. He's got my back. He'll see me through. Things of this world go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Somebody say amen there. So the world of the Apostle John had changed when he wrote the book of Revelation. He was in his 90s. He was the youngest of the apostles when he met Jesus. In fact, he was a teenager when he met Jesus. He was of a minority race that was despised and persecuted. The Jews had been conquered by the Babylonians and then by the Persians and then by the Greeks. And now they lived under the heavy hand of Rome in the days of John the Revelator. He's introduced to us in Matthew 4:21 and Mark 1:19 as the son of a small businessman named Zebedee. He and his brothers were fishermen in Galilee, and Luke's gospel reveals that they actually were in partnership with another fisherman named Peter. Thus far in these three records, we discover that when Jesus invited them to follow him, that's exactly what he did. You got to give John credit. And many of you sitting here who are 50 plus, when the Lord made the invitation, you said, I will follow him. But you will agree with me that when you said, I will follow him, you had no idea what you were getting yourself into. Being in the church and staying in the church is a challenge. And the reason is, when you came in the church, you had high ideals about how the church would be and discovered that everybody who comes in the church is not focused. In fact, some of you sitting here have met some of the worst people you've ever met in your life after you came in the church, and they were church members. Do you know that there are people who are over 50 who no longer come to church because of somebody in the church? I have no intention allowing some burrhead in the church who's half-baked cause me to lose my soul. And yet, the times I visit people who no longer come to church, they start with a story about some person who was in the church. I did not join you when I came in this church. I joined Jesus. Somebody say amen out there. And yet we poison the minds sometimes of the young people in the church by talking about people in the church, around young people in the church, and then wonder why the young people in the church don't join the church. They've heard all the mess from you about the in the church. You need my help. Amen. Amen. In In John's gospel, he gives a lot more detail about himself. He was a follower of John the Baptist at church, of John the Baptist at first. So he changed his allegiance from John the Baptist to Jesus. John and his friend Andrew were the first two disciples of Jesus. They led Peter to Jesus. When all this happened, John was very young. He dedicated his life to follow Jesus. When he died, he was nearly 100 years old. And we find him in the book of Revelation still, come on, y'all, still in the Spirit. Some of you know that I had my nephew with me for the past 2 weeks, following me around trying to learn ministry from his uncle. We were riding to the airport. I said, Preston, tell me, what did you learn the most? He said, Uncle Henry, it wasn't so much what I learned the most from you. This is what I learned about you. I said, what do you mean? He said, it was a joy to spend 2 weeks with a pastor who enjoys what he's doing. And you know, that made me feel good. Come on, y'all. That made me feel good. Because it means, Chris Hughes, that after 52 years in ministry, I haven't lost focus. Hey, I still get up in the morning, bounce out of bed. I know some of y'all are going to try to wear me out before the day is over, but that's all right. I'm ready for you. Prayed up, read up, determined. Why? I know in whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. At some point in your life, you got to decide, I'm here to stay, not going anywhere. You can't let people affect your allegiance to the church. By the time you're 50 plus, you should have figured out that the worst problem in the world is people. Somebody raise your hand if you know I'm telling the truth. Yeah. Now, if you're married, raise your hand slow. Just raise your hand slow. So there's no escape from people. And the church is full of them. Right? Look around. What do you see? Say it out loud. What do you see? Yes. Brown people, yellow people, black people, white people, all kind of people. Short people, fat people, tall people, skinny people, mean people, nice people. They're the church. You cannot escape them. Why? Because the same God that saved your mean carcass is the same God that's going to save that other mean carcass from sin. So the mean pray for the mean that we all might be saved. John is still in the Spirit. That's something to me. Nadri, 100 years old, he's still getting up on Saturday morning, went to the mountaintop, laid down his sledgehammer from breaking those rocks. He still was faithful to the things of God. That's what I want to be, just faithful. I want to be somebody who's just faithful. You can count on him. Some of you, when you first came in the church, you wouldn't miss prayer meeting. See, they're getting quiet because they know I'm going to get after them. See, they're getting quiet. Rod, they see I'm coming. Here comes the pastor. He's meddling now. Yeah, wouldn't miss prayer meeting. Now we praise God at TPC if we have 30 folk at prayer meeting. Hey, 30 people. Ellen G. White says, that's the lady we like to quote, you know. Ellen G. White says, prayer meeting is the most important meeting in the church. What happened to the focus? What happened to the focus? How did we get, oh. Early days of the church, oh my. Wouldn't care what kind of bill you had, no matter what, going to reach in there, going to take out that tithe, chuck it in that envelope, lick that thing, lick it, seal it up, put it in the envelope, praise God. Now we have new religion. It's called God Understands. Lord knows my heart is right. Got to pay my rent. God knows. He understands. Staying focused. It's the challenge of your life. And here I'm reading about a man found Jesus in his teenage years, and at age 100 is still faithfully going forward. How did he do that? How did he do that? Well, I studied my Bible, and in 2 Corinthians 3:18, I discover there that, first of all, it's by beholding Jesus. By doing what? Talk to me now. By doing what? We become changed. So it's a relational thing. So when you study about John in Mark 3:17, his reputation was that he was combative and aggressive. John was called a son of thunder. He and his brother James. In Luke 9:51 through 56, very actionary, vindictive. In fact, John was a person you did not want to mess with. Because when he saw these people doing something that he thought was not right, he said to Jesus, look, we'll handle it. We'll call down fire from heaven and wipe them out. This is John the Beloved. Are you listening to me? What I'm trying to say to you, folk, is that the Mark 9:38, he's critical, self-centered. Mark 10:35, he's ambitious and divisive. Remember, this is the John who came with his brother to Jesus in the face of the other 10 disciples and said through his mama, Lord, when you come to your kingdom, put me on this side and my brother on the other. Divisive. This is John. Let me tell you why some of us are plus 50. Because it's taken the Lord that long to get us savable. So if you're plus 50, that's an announcement. So while we celebrate and boast, the fact is, God, hey, you ought to give God praise. He loved you so much, he's kept you alive long enough so he can save you. And when you study, watch it now, watch it 50 plus, watch it, I'm coming after you. If you study John's life, his worst tests came after he was 50. And I can testify that that's true. See, I don't know how many more years I have left. Just know the Lord is not finished. And you have to be very careful when you 50 plus of walking around the like you got wings springing out of your back. Like you ain't never sinned, ain't never done nothing wrong. Because the fact is, from 50 on is when the Lord has to speed up his work. Have in mind to put you to sleep at 60. See how quiet they got? They done got quiet now. Yeah. So he's got to rush because he plans to take you to heaven. And so whatever he's got to do in the next whatever years you got left since you crossed the 50 line, he's going to get it done that he might save you. Let me put it this way. You may not be focused, but God is still focused. I like the fact that God is more determined to save me than I'm determined to be saved. Give God glory right now. Hallelujah. He has not changed his mind. He actually thinks that I belong in heaven. And think with faith. Picture your mansion. Picture your white robe. Picture yourself in it. Think big. Think straight. Think strong. Let me say it again. Your biggest challenges will come in your closing year. Study the apostles. Study Moses. Study. Their biggest test came after they were 50. If you forget everything I've said in this sermon, remember that. When you turn 50, watch out. You younger folk, be the sigh of relief. Hell is coming, but be the sigh of relief. Enjoy it now. Because if you get 50, God figures by then you ought to be ready. So he rolls up his sleeve, hey, and let you have all of it. Why? Because after 50, you ought to have enough sense to not like sin. After 50, you ought to know. It just don't work. Lies don't work. Drinking is for an idiot. Smoking is a good way to have cancer. Running around is a good way to get killed. Messing with another man's wife is a sure way to get killed. You ought to know that. Amens have gotten soft again. So it was after, it was when John got older. Peter died. Thomas died. All the disciples, he's left by himself. Hey, 50 plus, have you reached the point where you can stand by yourself? Matthew 10 and verse 2, we see that Jesus ordained John before he was converted. Matthew 17, 1, to help him change, he let him see his glory. He let John see Christ in his glory. Hallelujah. In Mark 13, 3, he took time to teach when John had questions to ask. Mark 14, 33, he kept John close even in his agony. In Luke 22, 8, he gave John spiritual things to do. I am so grateful as I stand here today that the Lord loved me enough to bring me into the gospel ministry. It's the only way that I can be saved. Yeah, I'm such a terrible fellow. I'm a terrible fellow. It's all right, you don't have to be nice. You can say amen. I'm a terrible fellow. I'm a terrible fellow. And the Lord said, this hard-headed young dude, if I don't drop the whole church on his shoulders, there's no way in the world he's ever going to pray enough, read enough, and be enough. So he assigned me the ministry for my salvation, not for me. See, after 50, after 50, you should have figured out by now how difficult it's going to be to get you in heaven. And you should thank God for everything that comes your way. Because God has one purpose, and that's to see that you make it to the kingdom. And so in Matthew 24, he told them they would drink the same cup that he would drink. He told them to watch and pray. He told them that the wolves would seek to devour the sheep. In Luke 21, he told them they would stand before kings. He told John, you'll be betrayed by people you know. He told John, people's hearts will fail them for fear. The powers of heaven shall be shaken, the seas roaring. He told John, a whole lot of stuff is going to happen that I might be able to save you. Many people that John had baptized preceded him in death. And then John came to understand, all they that live godly shall do what? Say it with me. All that live godly shall do what? Suffer. Just stop at the word suffer. All that live godly will suffer. But then he said, he that endureth to the end shall be what? Saved. Say it, church. He that endureth to the end shall be what? Saved. Talk to me. He that endureth shall be what? Saved. He that stays focused. I like that word. When I was running track, that's what my track coach, I was a sprinter. He said, 100-yard dash, you ain't got time to be looking around. And when the gun goes off, you got your mind on one thing, the goal line. I lost two races. You know why? Because I got distracted. I was racing against this guy who made a lot of noise when he ran. Whoo, whoo, whoo. Now, you know, when you're running a 100-yard dash and somebody's running beside, whoo, 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 and the coach told me, he said, this is what he does. am running stride for stride. Now, my best race was after the 50. See, after 50. I wish y'all would listen to me. I ran my best. Didn't have legs, any legs, but long. So the first 50 yards, I would always be behind the real sprinters. But after 50, y'all better watch out for Henry Wright. Here he comes! But now I'm running beside who? Who? And I know, pulling away. I always pull away. Pulling away from that boy. Yes, sir. Mess with me in the last 50. I'm bad after 50. But he's behind me. Who? And so I look. See what you said? Oh, see I looked. And of course, when you look and you're sprinting, you ain't got time to look. You only got time to run. Shot right by me. I done read my Bible. Bible says run with patience. Come the race that is set before you. You got to keep your mind on the goal. Because there's a devil running beside you. Going, who? And you precious people who've crossed the 50 line, you precious people who've crossed the 50 line, you have no time for distractions. You lose a husband, keep on running. A son dies unexpectedly, keep on running. Run out of money, keep on running. Diagnosed with cancer, keep on running. Come on, somebody. I don't care how loud the devil gets, keep on running. You got to stay focused. The song says, 'tis so sweet, I'm done, to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. My sermon today is simple to the 50-plus crowd. Stay focused. Be like John, who at the end of his days, we find him all by himself. No choir, no elder, no music, no organ. All by himself, worshiping the Lord. Stay focused. You plan to stay focused? Talk to your pastor. You plan to stay focused? Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Keep it up there. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the said the Lord.
Stand together, sing the chorus with him.
Jesus, how I trust.
Everybody standing.
How I proved him o'er and o'er.
Call his name again now.
Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust in.
Sing the last verse, Anwar. I think you know that.
I'm so glad I learned to trust thee. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend.
And
I know that thou art with
me. How long
will be
with all the way.
Me till the
now lift the song.
End.
Lift it, everybody. Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I proved him o'er and o'er.
His name is sweet, say it.
Jesus, Jesus. Precious Jesus, oh, for grace.
We're going to sing the chorus again. Let's hold the piano. Hold the piano. A cappella.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I proved him o'er and o'er.
Say his name, church.
Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace.
Now one more time.
To trust him more.
Oh,
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus.
Precious Jesus.
Precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more.
Repeat after me. By God's grace.